All right, so we're now back in the full council meeting as of 8:11 p.m. Does anyone have any objection to going out of order and first addressing PCR 67? No. Hold on. Let's try that again. Addressing PCR 52-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to support constitutional rights to bear arms and oppose the Rhode Island Assault Weapons Ban Act of 2025, H5436 and S359, given that there's obviously a number of people here who wish to comment or at the very least listen on this. So any objection to going out of order and hearing that item first? Seeing none. Stands before us, PCR 52-25. Councilman Lattiser is the sponsor of the bill.
Move favorable action on PCR 52-25.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Napa. So for discussion, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, I've proposed this legislation because of this so-called assault weapons ban. In my opinion, this is an extreme overreach by elected officials on our Second Amendment rights. And in addition to that being the major objection, it also creates a significant amount of unfunded mandates on cities, towns, and police departments. So over the years, we've all heard and experienced all of these changes in the laws to deal with the outlaw people who possess illegal firearms, who are completing illegal acts. We've all heard of all these changes that we're going to make, that they're going to make, that's going to correct this. It's going to stop this. It's going to stop the outlaws from having firearms. It's going to stop the folks with mental illness from doing the things that they really don't have control of. What they keep doing is they keep tweaking and keep poking away at our Second Amendment rights because, in my opinion, they don't know how to solve the real problems. They don't know how to stop the outlaws from getting firearms. They don't know how to put them where they're supposed to be with doing these illegal activities. So here's just a few of the things that have been promulgated against our Second Amendment rights. One of them is, prior to 1980, anyone over 18 could buy ammo or a firearm with a blue card. That started in 1980 for a handgun, long gun. The blue card started in 1980, for having the ability to purchase a long gun and you had to be over 18. That was one of the first things. That's going to, like, solve everything. And by the way, some of these things I don't object to, even though they are picking away. Some of them I don't have an objection to. But this issue I have a big objection to. Today, you need to be 21 to buy everything. The extensive background checks have been increased dramatically. I don't have an objection to that. 3 days to buy a handgun. Now it's 7-day wait time. And I don't have an objection to that. Trigger locks. That's something that has recently come up. Ammo separate from the gun in your house, office, or vehicle. Now, some might think that makes a lot of sense. But my Second Amendment right gives me the right to protect my property and my family and my person. Anyone with a carry permit has a right to carry that firearm. So let's say this. Someone breaks into your house tonight and threatens you with bodily harm or your family or your child. Excuse me, sir. Let me go unlock this and get that and find this and whatever. These are already in place. These laws are already there. There is no concrete evidence, at least that I'm aware of, no statistics that I'm aware of, that all of these additional laws that have been put in place have stopped the outlaws from being outlaws. One of the best bumper stickers I've ever seen says, "When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have them." Now, there's a true statement. There, in fact, is a true statement. You can pass all the laws you want. You can do whatever you please to keep the law-abiding citizens, the folks that have firearms, use firearms for sporting events, et cetera, target practice, personal protection, et cetera. You can pass all the laws you want, and it's not going to change the outcome of that bumper sticker. We need to deal with the real problem. The problem is dealing with the outlaws. That's the problem. It's not to continue to pull away our Second Amendment rights. In this Substitute A bill, which just came to my attention, by the way, over the weekend, in it, it just continues to talk about things that they've already done, the things that I've already talked about. You can't have a loaded firearm in your car. You've got to separate the ammo from the gun. It's got to be in the trunk. It's got to be here. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's already in the law. It's already there, the waiting time, the trigger guards, etc. That's already in the law. A grenade launcher, seriously? This is already the law. You can't have a grenade launcher. Okay, wonderful. What a surprise. That's already in the law. You can't have a machine gun. We already know that, right? The days of, that era when you run around with a machine gun to solve your problems, those days are gone. Those laws have already been passed. They already sit there. We don't need any more laws in place to do that. A semi-automatic pistol that has a fixed magazine capacity exceeding 10 rounds. Hello? That was already done. It's already there. We already had to turn in our 20-round magazines, and you're limited to a 10-round magazine, which, by the way, that doesn't stop anyone. Anyone with military experience remembers the days when you used to tape your magazines one on top of the other with duct tape, right? You turn a 20-round magazine into a 40-round magazine. This doesn't change anything. A semi-automatic firearm that has the ability to accept belt ammunition feeding. I think they call that a machine gun, right? Like it's a belt-fed ammunition, a belt-fed weapon. They go on to talk about pistol grips and these handles as though this is some type of thing that just makes this firearm some outrageous piece of equipment because it happens to have a pistol grip. Well, anyone that has fired a rifle knows the pistol grip is a tool of accuracy. It helps you stabilize that firearm. This assault weapon thing, where the hell did that come from? Assault weapon. That, in my opinion, is it's words that just create agita, assault weapon. These types of rifles that were semi-automatic rifles, they've been around forever. They weren't called an assault rifle until all of a sudden they become an assault rifle. Voluntary certificate of possession. Now this is just a wonderful thing. This is really good. This is going to fix all problems. Voluntary certificate of possession. You have a right to drive a vehicle, right? Getting a driver's license is not mandatory. It's a voluntary right to drive a vehicle. If you drive a vehicle without a driver's license, I think you're going to get a penalty for that, right? This affords a circumvent, in my opinion. Voluntary certificate of possession. Suppose I don't have a voluntary certificate of possession. Is that going to be the same thing as a driver's license? Oh, you're driving a car without a driver's license. But wait a minute, you said a driver's license is only, voluntary. I don't have to have a driver's license. No, but you need to drive this car. I believe that can be turned around. There will be some folks that say this matter doesn't belong before this body. Well, I respectfully disagree with that, because anything, anytime elected officials are looking to take away our Second Amendment rights, I believe it belongs before the local authorities, the local governances of towns and cities. Yeah, I believe it belongs here. You're trying to take away our Second Amendment rights, my Second Amendment rights? Yep, I think it belongs here. The issue, in any prosecution under this section, there shall be a rebuttable presumption that the assault weapon or weapons that are the subject of possession were obtained by the defendant after July 1st, 2026.
Councilman Lattiser, you have about 30 seconds left.
Thank you. Well, there you are. So much for your voluntary registration. If you don't register or whatever they're talking about over here, voluntary certificate of possession, if you don't do that, how are you going to prove you possessed that firearm before 2026? Don't let them do that go around. I object to that legislation. I stand behind what we have here. Thank you.
We have a motion to open to public comment, please. Anybody? Do we not want the public to speak? I'm confused.
Motion to open a public comment.
All right, motion made. Is there a second? All right. Motion made. A second. So, for those who don't know, just when you come up to the mic, make sure you state your name clearly, and then, as you likely gathered based on what I told Councilman Lattiser, you are timed. When you're getting close to the duration, I'll try to give you as adequate a warning as I can, but I apologize in advance if I end up interrupting you. I'll try not to, but I can't promise.
Good evening, City Council members. My name is Tanya Pereira. My husband and I are residents of Rhode Island for our lives. We've been part of the Warwick community now for about 2 years, and the assault weapons ban introduced at the State House defines assault weapon by citing integral functions and safety features of a firearm, and then uses these parts to create a ban on almost all rifles, all shotguns, and many handguns. An arm brace is in there. An arm brace provides aid to those who are injured or handicapped and can't support the full weight of a pistol. A shroud on a rifle that protects somebody's hand from being burned when they touch the barrel, that goes around the barrel of the firearm. A telescoping stock on a rifle and a shotgun that adjusts your length of pull, so somebody with a short arm length of pull, like myself, can also shoot safely the same firearm as somebody who is 6 foot. A threaded barrel on pistols that allows you to have a compensator to reduce the muzzle rise in order to better control your firearm and, again, safely control your firearm. All of these functions have been designed to increase firearm safety, yet these are the same functions that the sponsors of the bill are using to ban. Our state legislators promised the removal of the registry from the proposed AWB. However, they did not remove it. They instead renamed it to Voluntary Certificate of Possession. Nothing about this is voluntary. Even if we go to those extremes, there is still a strict limitation on where and how I can use my grandfathered firearm, creating a ban on CCW, as that is not an allowed use. In fact, if I were to carry my CCW pistol and I obtained this voluntary certificate of possession, I could face 3 years in prison and a fine of $2,500. I ask anyone who supports a ban on so-called assault weapons, define an assault weapon. And when you can't define what an assault weapon is, do you think you should be pushing a political agenda to ban them? This proposed bill has nothing to do with providing safety in our community and has everything to do with fulfilling a political agenda. You cannot legislate evil out of the world, but you can defend against it with a firearm. Please support the Second Amendment resolution before you and send a strong message to our out-of-touch state legislators. I also would like to address Councilman Gebhardt's concern of having the wrong venue here. I wish he was present for this. However, You are a representation of your constituents. This directly impacts your constituents, and I would think that you would want to listen to your constituents and not shrug them off as a state problem. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Although somebody may not be a fan of the Second Amendment, it is still part of the Constitution, and you have a duty to uphold your oath. State representatives say, "I can't wait to take your guns." They laugh in our faces, and they ignore facts. They bus in out-of-state support for their agenda. Shouldn't we be able to turn to our local representatives when our state legislators have failed us so miserably? And lastly, this is a direct impact to WARC taxpayers if this passes into law. Where will all the confiscated assault weapons be stored? You have to store them in a climate-controlled environment so they do not rust. There are tens of thousands of firearms within Warwick that would be classified as an assault weapon under this bill. No funding from municipalities is in this bill. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. My name is Emily Howe. I'm a Warwick resident. I've been a lifelong Rhode Islander. My husband and I have three kids. We came to Warwick because we wanted to make sure our kids got a good education, that they would be in a safe community and a loving neighborhood. Check, check, check. What we did not expect was to be here tonight. My husband's at home with our three kids, putting our three-year-old to bed, or he would be here with me. I'm on the board of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence, and I can tell you what an assault weapon means. It means to cause bodily harm. Nobody needs that to defend themselves. If you do, you're doing something wrong, and I feel bad for you, one. Two, we've had shootings at Uvalde in Texas. We've had them in Tallahassee, Florida. We've had them very close by in Connecticut, in Sandy Hook. Parents couldn't identify their children who were killed. They found them by their shoe. Take off my shoe. Imagine having to identify your loved one by the shoe they wore. People don't want to go to grocery stores. People don't want to go to church. As we saw yesterday, there was a shooting and a woman is severely ill and who survived the Holocaust. There is a problem, and that is why I'm up here today. I quickly want to read a little bit about the bill because there's some confusion. And I urge all of you to go back and to look at it. This bill would not only save lives of Rhode Islanders, but it is also constitutional and consistent with this country's historical regulations of dangerous and unusual weapons. This week, the United States Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal seeking to overturn the Maryland assault weapons ban, leaving in place the Fourth Circuit decision that such a ban is constitutional. The Supreme Court also declined to hear an appeal, for the First Circuit decision that Rhode Island's high-capacity magazine ban is constitutional. In finding, the circuit expressly stated that the same reasoning the court used in upholding the law would also apply to assault weapon bans like the one created H5346 sub A. These assault weapon bans are not novel. California passed the first assault weapon ban in 1989. The United States had a federal assault weapon ban in place from 1994 to 2004. Currently, nine states and Washington, D.C. have assault weapon bans in effect that are subsequently similar to this bill. These laws have been consistently and repeatedly upheld as being constitutional, and every single one is currently in full effect. The bill would prohibit the future sale, manufacturers, transfer, and possession of assault weapons, which are a class of especially lethal firearms that have military-style features. Assault weapons are not appropriate for self-defense or hunting. The bill would not prohibit the future sale, manufacture, transfer, or possession of any revolvers, most pistols, including those expressly designed for Olympic-style target shooting, all manually operated firearms, semi-automatic rifles, shotguns that do not possess specific military-style features. This bill would permit anyone who currently possesses an assault weapon to keep it going forward. The bill would also allow an individual who later inherits a lawfully possessed assault weapon to legally possess it themselves. This bill would not criminalize continued possession or use of weapons that were lawfully obtained and possessed prior to passage. This bill would create a voluntary certificate of possession systems that allows current lawful owners of assault weapons to obtain proof that their continued possession is lawful. This certificate can be used as evidence in the case of any future investigations or cases. This bill would not create a registry of any kind, nor does it require current lawful owners to obtain this certificate of possession. Thank you.
Good evening. One moment. I apologize for interrupting you. This isn't meant to target you. This is in general for everybody, and I should have led with this. Make sure you stay on topic to the bill itself. We don't need reminders of what's in the news and what has been in the news for years, as far as graphic descriptions of heinous acts that have occurred. If you're here to speak, you're here to speak on the merits of the resolution before us, which is addressing a bill that is before the General Assembly. I'm required to enforce decorum as part of my role here. As part of that, that means that if people start being repetitive or redundant, both with their own testimony or simply saying all the same things that a person prior or the people prior said, I'm going to gavel you and ask you to move on. So if you do happen to come forward and you agree with everything the person said before you or just some of the things, you could say, I agree with all those things that person said, and here's my own stuff as well. So please keep that in mind. I apologize in advance if I gavel you, but you know why if so. Again, I apologize for interrupting you, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Michael O'Neill. I'm a Warwick resident. Ed Lassiter is my councilman. There's a few things that were brought up tonight I'd just like to comment on. As far as Warwick not having any skin in the game, if you all are familiar with AT Wall, AT Wall just bought a large company. They'll be the largest manufacturer of magazines in the state of Rhode Island. So we have a lot of jobs in effect. We also have other manufacturers in the state of Rhode Island. The assault weapon ban is not just an AR-15 ban. It bans 3,600 firearms. We've done the research. 3,600 firearms, from revolvers to pistols, you name it, shotguns for shooting trap, for hunting. All those will soon be illegal. So that's an issue as far as this bill goes way too far. If you are familiar with the Bruin decision from 4 years ago from Justice Thomas, there's only four things that you can restrict for the Second Amendment, and that has historical basis. One, you're a habitual criminal. Two, you are mentally ill. Three, you can't bring firearms to a church. And four, students cannot carry firearms on school grounds. Those are the only four restrictions. He also gets into technology coming to present day as far as AR-15s and says you cannot restrict your, those firearms at all. Just the 4 points that I made. So the other thing is I'd like to bring as far as to Warwick with the firearms sales and is, do you know the leading tourism agency, not agency, but the demographic, the background as far as Rhode Island is the firearms community brings in $300 million a year in tourism. That's gasoline, that's hotels, restaurants. We have a lot of competition shooting from across the country that people come into for the state of Rhode Island. That's every year. You can go to the National Shooting Sports Foundation and find out exactly the numbers they track for each state every year. The Second Amendment right is our God-given right. It's not for restriction. And I'm hoping that you pass this for the simple fact of this is who we are. We also have the Speaker of the House that is in the Warwick District. And this is another reason why we're asking the town council to give us another voice to let him know that the Warwick, Rhode Island residents are not in favor of this. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rick Bateman. I am a 40-year resident of this city, a beautiful city. Really quick, I got to get to work. I want to thank the sponsors and co-sponsors of this resolution. I also know that we as Warwick residents put you in these seats to not only because we trust you, we trust our judgment, we trust your views, but also to protect us from stuff like this. We may ask you to weigh in on state issues and protect us from the state when it comes to things like this, or many other things. So I just ask that you do the right thing for the city of Warwick and our residents, and join the growing list of cities and towns passing resolutions similar to this, and not hopefully cave to the pressures that you may be getting from the state level. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Turan. My wife and I have been a resident of Warwick for over 30 years now, and we've raised our family here. I'm here to support Warwick's resolution on opposing House Bill 5436 and Senate Bill 359, the so-called assault weapons bill. I've attended both House and Senate judiciary hearings at the State House, and I've heard a lot of testimonies filled with misinformation and exaggerations. Supporters of these bills call them weapons of war, and we don't want weapons of war on our streets. This is patently absurd. Military weapons' features and capabilities far exceed those available to anything on the civilian market. Just because a civilian rifle looks like a military rifle, it doesn't make it one. And our firearms are not on the streets. They're with us at our gun clubs, when we're hunting, or they're locked in our safes at home. If these weapons are on the streets, they're in the hands of criminals, and they're not going to give one whit about either one of these bills. Make no mistake, the purpose of these bills is to disarm the citizenry. They know they can't control the criminals, but they can control the law-abiding. I've heard both elected officials and supporters of these bills state that they're a good start. Well, if banning 90% of commonly used firearms is a good start, you can believe that it won't be too long before they get to the other 10%. These bills have nothing to do with public safety. It's activism, pure and simple. And that's why I'm urging you to support a resolution opposing them. Thank you for your time.
My name is AJ Pandey. I'm a Warwick resident. I live in Ward 8. The right to bear arms is enshrined in our Constitution, but it must be subjected to reasonable restrictions for public safety. I think assault weapons are designed to kill as many people as possible and don't belong in our communities. While I'm no weapons expert, assault weapons meant for combat operations seem excessive for self-defense. I can't help but think law enforcement, first responders, as well as educators, believe a ban on assault weapons is better for our communities and our state. I hear a lot of the people who've come ahead of before me say this is just a start, this is just a start. I'm not sure when they say this is just a start, they're coming after their weapons. I do believe that is enshrined in our Constitution, and everybody does believe that you do have the right to bear arms. But if this is something that can help our communities and end mass shootings and things like that, I think it's a good start. So I respectfully urge this council to vigorously oppose resolution PCR 5225. Thank you.
Good evening, council. Michelle Comar, I'm a Warwick resident, Ward 1. Councilman Lasser, you always do your homework and you always give good information, and I learn from you and I thank you. However, I gotta say that I really think this issue and your comments need to go to the State House. And I really think this discussion here tonight belongs at the State House and not before the council. And that's why I would oppose PCR 5225. The other question I posed to the councilman in email last month when this was first advertised was, are you representing your personal viewpoints, or are you representing your constituents. Because I myself can get wrapped up in what I think is the best for me, but then we're supposed to pass laws that represent the general population, and in your cases, the constituents from each ward. And I know, Councilman Foley, I circulated a lot of emails. I know people in your ward were against this bill. So I would hope that these comments get up to the General Assembly. They're meeting tomorrow, I believe, on the sub-A in the House bill. And I think that's where the appropriate venue is. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ray McKay. Councilman, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for proposing and supporting this. I support all the comments that have come before me, to keep it short and brief. I'm a resident of Ward 7, so I thank my councilman for supporting this. The one question I would ask, everybody says this is good for the children. How does any of this legislation, by taking away the rights of law-abiding citizens, provide our children a safer place to go to school? When one stops and thinks we are going to take away the legally purchased, the legally acquired devices, personally owned property, we're going to take it away for the good of the people. Where does that sound? That's not America. That's not us. Ladies and gentlemen, the Second Amendment has been around for a good long time. It has done us well. People will say the arms that they talked about back in the day are no longer here. No. The arms that we have today have migrated in space and time. We aren't here to defend our families. We're here to hunt. We're here to go sharpshooting on the ranges. Because that is our right. It is our God-given right. To come up and bemoan the tragedies that have happened without providing an answer to provide our children a safer place. Take away my rights. Take away the citizens of Rhode Island's rights. And ignore our children, shame on you. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rebecca Sanderson. I'm a resident of Ward 5. And I am also a mother of two children and a over 20-year veteran of the Army. I'm still serving. I am opposed to this resolution, and this is why. I have read through the bill. I have read through the amendments. And I think with the amendments they have put in place, they have done a good job of explaining the difference between a firearm that could be used for self-defense and something similar to what I would use in the military. Self-defense hunting does not require these things. And I think that's important to note. It is important that we do what we can to take weapons that are designed for mass destruction to kill as many people as possible and restrict those. That is not saying you cannot defend yourself, but if you need more than 10 rounds to be able to defend yourself, I suggest you put a little bit more range time in. This is something that it is trying to place a definition. We're not just saying assault rifle is this big scary looking thing. It defines the characteristics that make it like the weapons I have used on three deployments, like the weapons I have treated gunshot wounds from on three deployments as a medevac member. We don't need assault weapons, and it doesn't mean you can't have your right to bear arms. You should and be able to bear arms. I am a gun owner myself, but I don't need that in my home. Thank you.
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. Again, Councilman Lattiser, no surprise we disagree on this issue. I trust the constitutional law experts, and so I think that's really important. So when I'm looking at what constitutes something that is constitutional, while I appreciate that many folks in this room have an opinion about that, what really matters are the constitutional law experts. I know we have three attorneys on this city council who know what that means in terms of going to law school, passing a bar exam, and having some experience and some wisdom on that. The other thing that I've heard tonight, which is really fascinating, is this idea that we have to stop folks who illegally obtain guns from committing mass shootings. The problem is the facts don't line up with that. So if you look at the last 100 mass shootings from 1982 until recently, 2024, there's about 100 of them. All but 16 were committed by legal gun owners. People who were legal gun owners had legally purchased guns until they no longer behaved legally. They had access to weapons where they could cause a lot of damage. And we know this. In Las Vegas, Stephen Paddock was a legal gun owner until he wasn't. The last thing I'll mention, too, I think you all know I serve as the executive minister for the Rhode Island State Council of Churches. I've heard a couple times tonight this phrase of God-given. I have spent decades interpreting, reading the scripture, not in an English translation. I have spent a lifetime studying the theology and the tradition of the church, and I know of no legitimate argument by which we could say that access to these kinds of weapons is somehow a God-given right. And finally, I will just say this. No piece of the Constitution is without limit. We place limits on the First Amendment. We recognize that there is a balance between our individual rights and the rights of our communities. So I encourage this body to reject this resolution. Thank you.
My name is Andre Carew. I was born in Warwick. I've lived here most of my life. I came here tonight with no intention of speaking, but I was sitting there and I was wondering, as we keep talking about assault, 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 if this bill was called Make 90% of Firearms Illegal Bill, how many people would support it? Because that's what it does. I feel that the only assault in this bill is the assault on the freedoms of law-abiding Americans. And I think that I really hope you pass this, just to send a message to the people at the State House that it's not okay to continue making law-abiding citizens criminals. We've done nothing wrong. And I thank you for your time.
Good evening. My name is Marie Hannity. I live at 11 Shenandoah Road, just off Post Road in south of Appanock. I am the mother of five children, the grandmother of 15, the great-grandmother of seven. I would like to simply appeal to Councilman Lodischer. You said it's okay with you that you can't have you can outlaw grenade launchers, machine guns. Well, I think that's what we're talking about. Outlawing these weapons of war. One thing I can tell you, that one great difference between when my kids went to school and when my grandchildren went to school, my kids never had to practice how to survive a mass shooting. And frankly, yes, we do need to deal with the outlaws. We need to disarm them as much as possible. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Madre Tadino. I've been a lifelong resident of Warwick. I'm sitting here listening. I did not grow up around firearms. I have two children. They're in their 20s. They also didn't. But I learned the proper protocol on how to handle one from starting with something very simple in my hand. I think a lot of the negativity coming around this is due to the news. I think if more people are informed about what exactly is an assault weapon, that there'll be a little bit more information that they can bring in so they have a little bit more facts on their hand. I do hope that you approve this. Someone mentioned about listening to your constituents. I think looking around here tonight, the majority of the people here who are for this, for you guys to approve this, are your constituents, and they're making their voice heard. I've always stated that everything starts from the city and goes up to the State House and Senate, but you have to start locally. And we are asking you to approve this to benefit, looks like, the majority of your constituents that are here. So I hope that you take it into consideration. I do hope the news starts putting something a little bit more positive so people have something else in their heads regarding what is negative around the firearm. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the City Council. My name is Michael Sislow, and I'm here on behalf of my family, my business, and every law-abiding gun owner here in Rhode Island. I run my family's business, D&L Shooting Supplies, right here on West Shore Road, and we've been in operation for over 50 years. My father built this business from the bottom up. We've served generations of customers, sportsmen, veterans, collectors, law enforcement, families. And today we provide good jobs to Rhode Islanders, and we contribute significantly to our state's economy. If this bill passes, it would have a devastating impact on our livelihood, our employees, our community. It would force us and other licensed law-abiding gun shops across the state out of business. Our employees would lose their jobs. Our customers would instantly become criminals. The state would lose over $600,000 just alone in sales tax that we collect and contribute yearly. This is not just bad policy, it is reckless economic sabotage. So let's be clear, this bill is unconstitutional. It doesn't address the real root causes of crime, like mental health, gang violence, drug trafficking, illegal firearms on the streets. You could make an argument that a car is an assault car, okay? This law instead punishes law-abiding citizens and small business owners like me who follow the rules, do things by the book, and contribute to our communities. Safety is something we prioritize every single day in our industry. We bring more law enforcement to our local area than ever before. Rhode Islanders also have the right to protect themselves and their families. Law enforcement can't be everywhere at once. This would put immediate strain on our local law enforcement, especially in times of emergencies. Taking away effective tools for self-defense doesn't make anyone safer. And instead of targeting gun owners, the state should be investing in real solutions, perhaps better mental health services, more funding for law enforcement, more funding for community education, and perhaps firearm safety training. No one here in the gun community would oppose safety. We are all for safe gun practicing. That's how you reduce violence. It's not by banning tools used by us law-abiding citizens. This bill makes no sense. That's why we're here today asking that you take a stand with us against this bill and opposing it with us. Thank you.
Given that there's no one else for public comment, Councilman Foley.
I move to close public comment.
Whoop. So we'll take this last one and then we'll go forward with that.
Hi, my name is Bob Peterson. I'm from Ward 4 in Warwick. Last year, when this bill came out last year, I did some research on other countries who had banned the assault weapons. And I found that the crime rate of homes being broken into and home invasions in many of those countries went up significantly. So I urge, if this bill ends up passing in the State House, I urge the city of Warwick to put a police academy through. You're going to need more on the streets because our homes are going to be invaded by the criminals that the state is afraid to deal with. Thank you.
All right, there was a motion made and seconded to close public comment. Is there any objection to closing public comment at this time? Seeing none, we are back to the full council meeting. Councilman Foley, in a moment I'm going to call on you, but I wanted to let people know that I have a proposed amendment for this resolution that they'll distribute accordingly, and I can explain what the amendment is and its content and why, if and when it gets motioned and seconded for discussion, because otherwise I will not be able to do that. So, Councilman Foley.
Objection to you moving the amendment, sir. Is that what you were asking me? I'm sorry.
I need someone to move in favor of the amendment so that we can discuss it.
Can you read the amendment as proposed, please? I'm sorry.
Council President Sinapi has prepared an amendment. He's asking for someone to move and second it so that it can be distributed to the members and discussed amongst you.
I move the amendment second. Of President Sinapi.
Second.
All right, motion made and seconded. So, as far as the content. So, for those who weren't already aware, I was a co-sponsor on the original resolution because the original bill, the way it was written, I had issues with it. I discussed such with at least some of the people who actually wrote the bill, and I was assured that those would be looked into and potentially even addressed. At least some of those things were addressed. The sub A is certainly better than the original bill. However, concerns remain, frankly, for both sides, whether they realize it or not, because as pointed out, when it comes to things being upheld by the courts, that's kind of important for any gun control legislation that comes before the General Assembly or any legislative body for that matter. And one of the issues I had and many have with the current bill before the General Assembly is how broad it is and unintended consequences. One, for gun owners, you shouldn't have to sit there on your computer and Google what each term means in the legislation to figure out if your gun actually violates it. Once you hit that level of regulation, that's a sign that you're probably doing something wrong. And when you compare it to some of the other states that have passed this kind of legislation, you'll notice that those states, it's much clearer and easier to figure out if you're a gun owner, if what you're doing or what you own is a problem, which is kind of important when it comes to enforcement and actually making sure the law gets followed. So my proposed amendment, rather than coming up with my own verbiage and having the same problem as far as it being difficult to understand, there actually happens to be another bill in the General Assembly, specifically in the Senate, that is seeking to address a definition of assault weapon that has been used elsewhere in the country. It is far more specific, far more narrowly tailored, and it doesn't come off with all those unintended consequences. And for instance, as far as an unintended consequence of the bill before the General Assembly, the main bill is banning things like pistol grips. While I'm sure they have a good reason for it, at least I hope they do, an unintended consequence happens to be if you happen to be disabled, and that's why you use a pistol grip, let's say, on your shotgun, you now are banned from all shotguns as a result, because your disability prevents you from using them without a pistol grip, and the General Assembly has just banned a pistol grip on all shotguns. So clearly the intent is not to go after disabled individuals and prevent them from utilizing something for which they have a right to use. However, because that bill is so broad, that's the kind of issue you run into time and time again. And again, I understand the intent is a positive one, or at least I assume. I feel like that's a safe assumption, and while I'm sure some individuals involved might not have such a noble intent, I'm not going to assume otherwise, because it's not worth anyone's time. So this is the amendment before you. It basically asks for the General Assembly to amend the legislation that's before them to utilize this far more narrowly tailored version of assault weapon ban. And I know I can only speak for myself, not necessarily the other co-sponsors, but given that the changes made to the legislation, the sub A specifically, it becomes more difficult to support this resolution in its original form as opposed to this current amendment before us. Plus, this current amendment before us happens to have the added benefit of addressing concerns on both sides. For those who seek greater gun regulation, this provides that. And it does so in a way that is far less likely to be vulnerable to a court challenge. For those seeking less gun regulation, this is far less than the other bill before the General Assembly, and it does so in a way that's clear, understandable, and has been done elsewhere. In fact, one of the states where it was done is very big on guns, Nevada. So this, if you Google, you'll find the language there. So this is not an unheard of proposition. It's not even unheard of in our state, given that the Senate has a bill like this before it. We're just basically trying to say, hey, you should use that language because it's seemingly better in every way and everyone wins, as opposed to alienating roughly half the population, or even if it's not half, a portion of the population, simply because they disagree with you on an issue. And I have a fundamental issue with alienating a group of the populace simply because they have a different opinion. So many lights. It's like Christmas. Councilman Foley.
Point of clarification. The discussion that we're involved in now is about the amendment, not the overall bill. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And then the chair will make sure the council addresses just the amendment at this time?
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's all.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. This being an amendment, I would suggest, and I would otherwise just give the opinion that I would leave my yes or no vote on the amendment up to the primary sponsor on this. If the primary sponsor desires this amendment, I'll vote in favor. If not, I'll vote in opposition. Thank you.
I guess we should get that out of the way. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I would recognize your efforts in proposing the sub A, and if it were an individual bill standing on its own merits, then I may consider it. Being submitted as a sub A to my original legislation, I can't support this because this is not doing anything to change what is attempted. In This is simply, how would I say it? Softening the blow. Some of this in here, which machine gun, that's already outlawed. The wording and consider amending the definitions in Rhode Island assault weapons ban. The language in this sub A, in my opinion, isn't going to change the intent of the legislation that is at the General Assembly. It's not going to change the intent and determination of the sponsors of that particular legislation. I don't support that legislation at all. And with all due respect, I'm not going to be able to support this sub A as an alternative to the legislation that I proposed. Should you want to introduce this as a sole piece of legislation appealing to the General Assembly for consideration, that may have me take a second blush at it. But in its current form and in its intent, I will not be able to support it because I don't feel this is addressing the problem. And the problem is, again, chipping away at our Second Amendment rights. Thank you.
Councilman DeLuise.
It's what I have to say is just going to be repetitive. What Councilman Lattiser and other people in the audience have talked about. New Orleans, a person took a vehicle and killed people that were in a parade celebrating. There are other instances. I mean, should we ban cars? I don't know. The gentleman in Las Vegas who went up to, 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay and killed 53 people that were at a concert. I don't think that person was in his right mind, okay? Yeah, he might have been a lawful citizen, but something happened. Councilman Lattiser said, and this argument probably go on till the end of time, about, you know, gun control, women's rights with abortion. These arguments are going to go on forever and ever.
Councilman DeLuise, if I can just get you to focus on the amendment, I apologize.
Well, I'm with Councilman Lattiser. I can't support the amendment. I think we should focus on what was before us. And Councilman Lattiser, I agree with you. If you ban weapons, criminals are still going to get them. Criminals have ways of possessing whatever their end goal is, okay? They're going to find a way to do it. And they will still have the weapons, and I don't think we should, I'm not the person that's going to infringe upon the Constitution. That's all.
Yeah, and to be clear, the goal of the amendment, in addition to what was already stated, is also to, quite frankly, I want to support my fellow council people who are passionate about this issue. I'm a gun owner myself. However, I don't happen to be passionate about the issue, fully admit. And while I was happy to co-sponsor with the original language as presented, the sub A somewhat changes things for me, which I've been rather clear about tonight. I can't speak for any of the other co-sponsors as to whether it changed anything for them, nor can I speak to whether or not others whose constituents reach out to them, or to any research they've done, has changed people's minds one way or another, or simply reinforced. My goal by the amendment, again, is in part, I want my fellow council people who are passionate on this to feel supported. Getting some form of that this pass would do so, something, but I need it to be something I'm comfortable with, hence the amendment. I'd rather do that, support them, and support gun rights as they stand, while also supporting those who seek safety regulation, because as it's clear here, this only addresses military-style weapons, not weapons that look like they're from the military, which is frankly irrelevant, but actually military-style weapons and the hardware associated. So bear in mind when it comes to the amendment, I don't know how the votes are going to play down one way or another if the amendment gets voted down and then we go to the regular resolution. I'd rather have at least the amendment go forward. But take that with what you will. Councilman Nava.
Thank you, Council President. Just for a point of clarity, I don't believe most of the audience understands what the amendment you proposed actually sets out to do. Essentially, the spirit of this amendment is to clearly define assault weapon to mean a weapon that automatically shoots or is designed to shoot, can be readily restored to shoot more than one shot without manual reload with a single pull of the trigger. Essentially, what Council President's amendment is seeking to do is to clearly define assault weapon as a true military-type weapon where either by three-round burst or fully automatic settings, it's not targeting any semi-automatic weapons that are actually considered semi-automatic weapons. I do applaud your effort to define the term assault weapon in this manner because it is, my opinion, used as a fear-mongering term, is poorly defined, and leads to a lot of misinformation and misinterpretation on both sides, both pro and against bills like these. However, as much as I support this, I think some of this is already accomplished through federal regulation and federal law and local law that these type of weapons are already banned. Additionally, there are some large fundamental problems with the underlying bill that your definitions would not address. Particularly the presumption of guilt that the underlying bill holds. I would not be opposed to using this definition, your proposed definition of assault weapon, in conjunction with Councilman Lannister's proposed opposition. However, I'm not certain that I would be able to support just changing the definition with leaving some of the other concerns that I have for the underlying bill in place. And I know this is, we're just addressing the amendment, so I don't want to get into the weeds on my concerns on those. But I hear and understand and appreciate your desire to support the council as a whole and to try to find an equitable solution that everyone can take a little bit of the pie that nobody wants to eat and find some way to get through this together.
Councilman, if we added in something to address the presumption of guilt, would that work? Because I don't see any way to combine mine with Councilman Lattiser's, but I do see a path forward to adding in addressing the presumption of guilt. That seems like a readily doable fix.
I think amongst other things, there are several other issues. I don't want to overstep the discussion on the floor. I think it would require me addressing the original bill, and that's not the topic of discussion at this point.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak on the proposed amendment? Councilman Foley.
Move the question on the amendment.
All right. Clerk will call the roll.
What's the motion?
This is on whether or not the amendment has favorable action.
Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
No.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
4-5, motion fails.
All right, now stands before us the full bill. Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Just to address some concerns, first and foremost, I want to thank everyone for sticking it out here tonight, both for and against our proposed resolution. I know it's a long night, and I appreciate you all staying, and also appreciate the manner in which you addressed your fellow citizens here and addressed this council in a respectful way. These issues tend to get heated, and I do appreciate how everyone presented tonight. That said, a couple of things that I find problematic with this bill as proposed. The poorly defined term assault weapons, which first came about sometime in the mid-80s when I was an infant, during talks much like these, like I stated earlier, they tend to fearmonger more than anything and create unrest in the discussion itself. A bill like this is seeking to address things like telescoping stocks, foregrips, pistol grips, encircled barrels. They don't do anything to increase or decrease the lethality of a weapon. And that is the spirit of which the General Assembly and the Senate has proposed this bill. That they want to address the lethality of the weapons that are out there and that the public has access to. Their definitions and what they're proposing does none of that. They sprinkle in terms like grenade launcher to really hammer it home that, oh my gosh, look what they're doing. They're outlawing grenade launchers. Well, that's already done, as Councilman Lattiser had stated. I do agree with Councilman Lattiser and many of the constituents that spoke here tonight. What I don't like is the underlying feeling that if you're opposed to a bill like this, you somehow don't care about the safety and well-being of the community, the children, the elderly. That's just a misconception and it's false. And quite frankly, it's not appropriate to put that sort of judgment on either side of pro or against. People that are in opposition to this type of, to our resolution and in support of weapons bans, I certainly wouldn't think ill or push anything against you that, you know, you're entitled to your opinions and you're entitled to the way you feel about certain issues relative to these weapons. You know, I've heard terms like these weapons that this bill seeks to ban are meant for combat. Well, they're not. We don't go into combat, or we don't send our military into combat with semi-automatic, one-trigger-pull, one-projectile weapons. We just don't. The weapons that this bill seeks to ban are not in any way meant for combat. Do they look similar? Sure. Can some of these have an AR platform that people think is scary looking at it? Yes. But they are not in any way or any stretch of the imagination meant for combat. One of my largest issues with this bill is the, like I said, the presumption of guilt, and that is found in section 11-47.2-3. That, for me, is a scary proposition. What that essentially means is that the House has cleverly tried to disguise the presumption of guilt by terming it a rebuttable presumption that the weapon was procured at a time when it was illegal to do so. That means that you are not innocent until proven guilty. That means you are guilty until you can prove that you were innocent. That's a problem. That's a big problem. That goes against the spirit of our whole judicial system. That's my largest problem with this bill as written. Now, that being said, I have no problem with common sense firearm legislation, firearm safety. Mr. Sislo said it right. Real gun people, real supporters of the Second Amendment have no issue with firearm safety, firearms training, supporting actions that will actually make a difference. This does have a direct impact to our local business, to our local people, to our local community. And further, it is an attack on fundamental rights. And I, for one, would stand up against any sort of encroachment on fundamental right. Make no mistake that a government that erodes the Second Amendment, which is specifically designed to protect the First, will soon come after the first and any other fundamental right that they at any point seem fit to do so. Not to say that's the intent of this legislature or this state. However, I think it is important to protect those fundamental rights. And this is for myself, standing up for the voice of my constituents and for this city and for this state to take steps that are afforded to me via this platform that I have to protect fundamental rights. And not just this one, but just to make a stand that the city will not support erosion of any fundamental right. The other issue that I have, which is less concerning but still a concern, is this certificate of possession. The term may procure and not shall makes it voluntary for sure, but it doesn't address what happens if you lose, damage, misplace, or your certificate gets stolen. It doesn't address the timeline in which the Public Safety Committee needs to create and generate the application process. There is a dead timeline of July 1st and when procurement of these weapons becomes illegal. However, if the Board of Public Safety doesn't act in a timely manner, then your timeline, or any citizen's timeline, to apply for a certificate may be a week, maybe 2 months, maybe a full year if they act quickly, which we all know how government functions. You have a government here in front of you and we move slow. So I think there are issues with that certification process. And second thought that I have there is, what's the point if it's not mandatory and if it's an exercise of futility where they don't really address what happens if the certificate gets lost, or there's no record keeping of the certificate, so even if you have one, there's nothing to say that if you do lose your certificate, you can ever get a replacement, which is a problem. It's poorly crafted from top to bottom. But again, I think the largest problem here is the erosion of a fundamental right. And I'm in strong opposition to this bill. That's all I have.
Councilman Foley.